good.
Can we start? Can we do this one where we start where like we don't know we're starting and then we get into it just as a joke? Like, can we just do some random banter?
Is that okay, or are you gonna be upset that there's no clap?
Okay.
Oh, I guess we're.
we'll just choose an earlier time to start it.
I think he's literally recording now.
He's not recording. No. Oh, the light's red. The light's red. All right, we're live. We're live. Get ready. Hello, folks. You know, I guess we're a little behind on our intro today.
You're literally so funny, dude. You clearly want to do something fun, which is amazing, but it's so obvious to them that it was planned.
We're gonna have to pretend
that we weren't being recorded.
Yeah, Jeremy didn't know he had already started recording.
Yes, you did. There's no way.
Chris, your curls are looking funny today, brother.
No, I know, dude. I was actually looking at it looks like, yeah.
Have you been using that curl cream that you got?
No, not yet, but I need to do something.
Chris met somebody.
Yeah.
Awesome woman.
Mortgage agent.
Last week, I think, at a gala event.
Well, I met her before that, but yes.
But this is where she, we kind of connected. So anyways, she's got some really beautiful curls too. And after the event, Chris got a package that was basically a curl care hair kit. And he was just blown away.
I honestly didn't know if to take it as a compliment or an insult.
No, like, a compliment.
No, I love it.
She, I don't know if you guys had a conversation. Did you even talk about your hair?
Oh, dude, that's all we talked about.
Yeah, that's probably why. So the fact that she sent you curl kit is pretty cool, man. Like,
but no, it's 100%. She's a genius. Not only that, but she gave me also a consultation.
We gotta give her a shout out.
No, it's you want me to say the name? I don't know if she wants it her name.
Fine, we'll just tell her about the video.
But yeah, no, the reason my hair looks like this, as you know, is because I'm in transition. I want to let it grow.
Does your hair in the sun, because the weather's getting better, does it get lighter?
Yes.
Does it get more red?
No.
Or blonde?
Blonde.
All right.
Yeah, same with my beard.
I can see like a little
blonde. Yeah, so it's blonder here and it's a little darker at the bottom.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions you have about my...
No, we're done. We're done with the beauty. We're done with the beauty and self-care questions. We want to do a public service announcement today. We really have no agenda. So we were thinking, let's answer some questions that people... you know, have about mortgages.
And literally what we did was just Google mortgage questions.
We just Googled mortgage questions Canada. And guess what?
You know,
the government of Canada has a website.
But before you go into that, actually, one of the things I really, really liked is that one of the first hits was the government themselves, which is awesome, because normally you just find
Did you know that the government has an Instagram? Click on that. What's that look like? Click on the Instagram.
I don't know if I can do it from here. Can I?
Yeah.
What is that?
Oh, there you go.
FCAC, Financial Consumer Agency of Canada. What was their
underscore
last post?
Can.
They got 500 followers. How many followers do we have?
We have more than that, right?
I think we have like, I'm not sure.
100. Who's following them? 158 people follow these guys?
Anyway.
Shout out to the Financial Consumer Agency of Canada. Do they have any posts here?
Yeah, they have 67 posts.
What are they posting about?
I don't know.
Anyways, we're going to read some questions right off the Canadian.
Some of them are actually pretty good.
There's some pretty decent questions.
Yeah, right. And I think these are questions that people should be asking themselves all the time.
So let's go with number one right there, right on the website.
Perfect. So how much you need for a down payment? Again, some of these questions are very basic, but it's important for people to understand what it is. And as basic as they sound, a lot of people don't even know what they are. You know, like
it's on the website, so people are asking these questions.
Right. That's a fair point.
The minimum down payment you need is 5%.
One second before we go there. Shannon in BC, she got mad at me because I keep holding the mug like this and apparently you can't see the logo.
Oh, so you have to hold it like
so
this.
I just literally... So, Shannon, I hope you're happy. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
All right, what were we talking about? The down payment. So the down payment
minimum down payment.
5% on the first 500,000.
Yeah.
Anything above 500,000 up to 999, basically just under $1 million.
Under $1 million.
Is 10%.
But why is that? You want to tell people?
Well, because it's going to be a heavy risk. If you're buying a $900,000 home...
Yes and no, but it's really because the government of Canada, through CMHC, is no longer insuring properties over $1 million. Yeah. So, okay. By default, and there is talks of that going up, right? But no one really knows.
Probably in the big markets like Toronto or Vancouver where the garage is $1 million.
But going back to your original point, I just realized I have a marker in my finger. It's okay. A little weird.
You're busy today.
Let's talk about risk in terms of down payment. So let's talk about high-end value properties, the 1.5 and above,
Yeah.
You and I both know what sliding scale is, but
you
Okay, so let's say you're buying a slightly larger garage in Toronto or Vancouver, and it's $1.5 million for this
garage?
Luxury garage. One car. It's like a Cooper, the Mini Cooper, and a bike, two bikes. Yeah. So you bought this garage for $1.5 million. Normally, it's a 20% down payment, but there are some lenders that will say after a certain threshold, you need a bigger down payment. For example, the threshold could be $1.2 million. They'll say on the first $1.2 million, you can put down 20%. Anything above that, you might need 50%, for instance. So that's called tiering. Some lenders will give you an exception. You can buy a $2 million home or a $3 million home, and they'll say, hey, your profile is very strong. We'll take 20% down. The rest of it's good. It's a good property. But keep in mind that as soon as you hit that $1 million and up, I think the threshold's really 1.2 for most lenders, right?
So, yeah, 1.2,
that's where most people start changing it up.
1.25. Some lenders will stop at 1. Some lenders will stop at 1.5. But you know, nowadays, especially with Toronto and Vancouver, there's a lot of exceptions being granted, right, on that. So
keep in mind that you might need more than 20% on these more premium purchases. Number two, what do we got here?
Choosing a mortgage that's right for you. Again, guys, we're not making this up. This is stuff that's literally on the website. So obviously, these are questions that the Canadians are asking, and we thought it would be fun just to go through them. Choosing a mortgage is right for you. Honestly, the best mortgage, I don't care what anyone says, is the one that lets you sleep at night. Agree?
Yeah.
Because if you're going to go fixed or variable, or if you're going to go with an aggressive amortization or payment frequency, you know, whatever the case may be, you have to make sure that you're comfortable with it. Don't just rely on what a mortgage broker, mortgage agent,
or branch,
or advertisement says that you can afford or anything like that. Run the numbers and be realistic with
them. Here's some real numbers just to kind of, you know, kind of emphasize this point. The regulators are allowing you to have as high as 40 to 44% of your gross income. So if you make $100,000 before taxes, you can have almost half of your income, 44% on the high end, going towards housing, which is your mortgage payment, taxes, and heating. That's pretty scary. That means almost half my income before taxes towards my house.
Well, no, but that's not an exception because you're talking about TDS.
I'm talking on the high end.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the rule of thumb is 39-40, right? So.
Yeah.
But I understand your train of thought, but it's unrealistic to think that way because, you know, you may not have a car today, but you may have two years from now.
Sure.
Right?
No, or what I'm trying to say is this is such a massive debt.
Yes.
This is almost half of your...
Sure.
It is half of your income when you factor in the net income you get after taxes.
More than half of your income.
So half of your actual income in your pocket is going towards housing. You better make sure you find something that's very, very comfortable, not just on the interest rate, but features, flexibility, all that stuff. That's going to be super huge.
Do we agree? Like, it's the one that lets you sleep at night?
100%.
100%.
Like a baby.
Like a baby. Prepayment penalties.
Hey, hold on a second. Do you know what these beds in a box?
I've actually seen them, but I haven't ordered them.
Someone told me that they were going to get a bed in a box, and I thought it was like a bed in a box. You just, like, when someone comes over, you just have a seat.
I've seen them. I'm just laughing.
But it's a real bed in a box.
I'm laughing because it's so random. Why are you talking about
sleeping at night?
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Actually,
it's a good segue. See, look at that. So this is a legit. This is a business model now. They're selling beds in a box instead of you getting a full-on mattress.
Think about it. How many times have you now had to, like, you know, you buy a brand new mattress, let's say king size, queen size, whatever, and you want to take it up the stairs or through the elevator.
It's a hassle.
It's a pain. And you know, and it's like all soft and cushy, but they can be heavy and awkward.
They're heaviest. I've dropped them, man.
Fair enough. All right, next one. Prepayment penalties.
Yeah, that's huge.
It is huge if you're going to break your mortgage. I find very few Canadians prepay more than they allowed.
Yeah, it's rare.
Like, you know, a lot of them are 20%, 15%. And if you're having a mortgage of, on average, of $500,000, that's $100,000 a year. I don't know of many people.
So you mean $1 million mortgage?
No, $500,000 mortgage.
Oh, okay. Sorry. 20%
prepayment. Yeah. That's $100,000, right?
Yes, yes.
I don't know.
Not too many people are knocking down $100,000 on their mortgage.
So prepayment penalties are important if you're only going to break the mortgage, really.
Yes.
Let's talk about monolines versus big banks in terms of
But before I do that, so on the prepayment penalties, the average Canadian... the data shows the average Canadian breaks their mortgage every 3.5 years. So, you know, when you're buying that first home, think to yourself, where am I going to be in the next 5 years? If there's a possibility I might sell this home, does this mortgage that I chose have a penalty to get out of the mortgage? Can I get out of the mortgage? Can I bring the mortgage to a new property? These are all massive questions. So forget about what your rate is. You can get the greatest rate in the market. But I like Chris's quote. You have a really good quote. You say, it's not the rate you get, it's the rate you pay for.
So is that an interest rate that you get that matters? It's an interest you pay that matters, right?
Because if after 3 years you're paying a $5,000, $10,000 penalty, who cares that your rate was the lowest in the market?
Right.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be a long-term plan.
So I know we're going to go off topic here, but this is really, really good because it's organic and natural.
You want to talk about the monoline?
No, before we even go there, I don't know if you've actually read it. It just came out last night or this morning. I know we've had a very busy day. But, you know, there's talks about perhaps copying or having some sort of a hybrid in terms of the type of mortgages that other countries have, like the US. You know, there's a 30-year mortgage with a 30-year amortization. Like, there's no really discrepancy between term and amortization. And you know, the government of Canada is saying, you know, if we can get more longer terms and incentivize people for those type of qualifications, then perhaps we can have a more robust financial stability in terms of real estate.
Well, so you're saying that if you're qualifying for... So, for example, you
can't... No one knows. It's just conversation
right now. Talk it out.
Yeah.
Right now, you qualify for a five-year posted rate, which I think is 5.34%.
Yeah.
So pretty much everybody's qualifying at roughly 5.34% over... Normally, it's a 30-year amortization. Some banks will even
do 25. If it's conventional, if it's high ratio, 25.
It's 25. Yeah. So, you know, very strict criteria. The reality, the rates aren't that high. But if the regulators were to introduce perhaps longer-term mortgages for people who don't qualify, and they say, look, we'll give you a 10-year term. That 10-year term, I'm making this up, is 3.99%.
Well, bro, your rate's so high.
Just making this up. It's a discussion. It doesn't really matter. You're going to start high, set the expectations high, and then deliver a good deal. So the rate's 3.99. I literally made that up. It's probably is lower. But because you don't qualify the stress test rate of 534, you have to take a 10-year term, which is at a lower rate. But because we know that that rate is what your payments will be reflected on for 10 years.
Bingo.
It's a lower risk.
Perhaps we can go on the contract. On the contract rate, or perhaps even have a higher amortization. No one really knows. Correct. But the rule of thumb is this, is that, you know, if I'm gonna lock in longer, you know,
but your monthly payment is lower
for more. Correct.
But you're also less of a threat because your payments are not
going to change. Well, it's time, right? There's less volatility.
Yeah. We should send a note to the FCAC about this. Put it on the Instagram.
Dude, I think someone already did that. That's why the conversation's there. But to that point, a lot of people don't know this, but there's a lot of there's mortgages out there for 7 and 10 years.
Yeah.
Currently. And I'm not, since we're talking about prepayment penalties, I don't know if you guys know this or not. I know you know this because we've talked about it. Any mortgage that was for 7 or 10 years after the 5-year mark, even though it's fixed, well, it will be fixed, you cannot charge the IRD penalty as a lender. It will always
so
be
so it actually is
interest.
Attractive to do a 10-year.
So yeah,
if
could
you're
be.
Ultra conservative and you
well, forget the ultra conservative. If it's gonna help me qualify,
that's probably the main reason because it doesn't really ever make sense to get 10-year term.
Yeah, but then I would want to be careful how you underwrite it in terms of, you know, let me just get a 10-year and then break it. You know, do we want? There has to be some sort of.
You know what? The reality is that I believe in Canada the default rate is less than 1%, or maybe close to 1%. So I think that the regulators have done a great job managing risk, but I think that they went a little bit too extreme from where we previously were before 2018.
Yep.
And now we're seeing people who make 100 grand barely qualify for a micro condo in Toronto or maybe a Vancouver, for example, at $500,000.
Yep.
I think it's a little aggressive. There needs to be a little bit of a flexibility to get people into the market. Otherwise, you're going to get all these investors who are like, hey, I qualify. I'm going to keep buying these properties up and price people
up. That's exactly my point. There's a lot of people that have money that keep buying rental properties.
Because they know that people can't qualify for them.
Right. So that pushes the demand on rentals.
Correct.
Right?
And I think this is a whole conversation. But that whole, you know, announcement of assisting with the down payment is a bit of a joke.
It's not a bit of a joke. It's a joke. It legitimately is. That makes no sense. But anyway, it's a different topic.
Okay, let's choose another topic.
Okay, so next one. Getting home line of equity.
HELOC.
I mean, for some people, it does wonders. For others, honestly, it's the worst thing they could ever do. Because if you're not careful with what you're doing, you're just calling me every single year saying...
So, let's explain the HELOC. Some people don't know what that is. A home equity line of credit. You've got a $500,000 home. You put down 20%. You got a mortgage for $400,000. As you pay down that mortgage, you're unlocking equity. It's a secure line of credit, basically. And what Chris is saying is, you know, let's say you've got a $500,000 home valuation and a small mortgage of 100 grand. You could potentially tap into that equity in the form of a line of credit and get, you know, let's say $200,000 of a line of credit. But the reality is that people treat that as like a checking account. They just borrow the money.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know what's funny? A lot of times they say to people, hey, do you have a mortgage?
They always say no.
They say, no, I have no mortgage. Then it's like, okay, cool. This should be a pretty easy application. Then I find out they've got a $400,000 line of credit balance. I'm like, oh. But the same thing. It's still a debt.
No, but technically they're right. It's not a mortgage. It's a line of credit, except it's charged against the property.
You forgot about the $400,000 debt you have?
That's pretty clear.
I guess the question should be, do you have any debt secured against your property? That should be the
question. We're going to have to tweak it for those handful of people. Let's do one more.
Well, I think a lot of them we can skip. I'll name them just so people can hear. But one of them is, planning your household budget. We're already kind of talking about
that. We actually have a worksheet right on our website. You can download it. And for a lot of people who are buying a home.
I didn't know that.
I created it. Our team created it. I just made it look nice. We do have a worksheet. And I say that, you know what's really sad? That in school, I know we've done a couple of financial education classes with some younger students. Teach them about financial literacy. Yeah. But in school, they don't teach you basic financial planning, financial household management.
They don't.
So, and a budget's key. I think I know exactly what my budget, is in terms of monthly, and my wife hates it, but I think at this point she's like, I get it. If it allows all this extra freedom,
sure,
I get it. But most people have no idea what their budget is. They're like, I don't really know what's going in and out. I just sort of, whatever's in the account, I spend. And that's kind of sad. And it's especially challenging if you're buying your first home. You should know exactly to the dollar, or as close as possible, what you're spending, your family is spending before you go in and purchase this home. Because, just because you like the home and you can qualify for it doesn't mean you can really afford it. That $1 million
house. That's going back to what you said.
And I push back on a lot of people. Just because I know I can qualify you for the loan, there's a lot of clients I'll say, look, I can get this mortgage, but I'm a little uncomfortable. But I don't know if you can make this work.
But it's not just that. It's because perhaps we know that after a year from now, they're going to need a brand new car. Or they're starting a family, and they're gonna have two kids within a 5-year term. It's hard on families going on math.
Buying a house is just the first thing. Now you have to adjust to this massive expense in your life, but then you have daycare costs, car costs, just life expenses. It does get expensive, and having a well planned mortgage is super key.
All right, so the next one, discharging a mortgage. We kind of went through that through penalties, right?
Yeah.
Mortgage qualifier tool. I really want to talk about this because
qualifier?
I'm driving every single day.
The pre-approvals, right?
Yeah, the qualifier tool. And I keep hearing the 60 seconds. And I almost want to do an ad doing the opposite. We will not approve you in 60 seconds because we're going to be...
It's not even an approval.
It's not.
It's literally we're going to give you a piece of paper that's bogus.
So, qualify tool, be weary, I guess is what I would suggest. Always have a second opinion. Make sure you're good. Okay, the next one, getting pre-approved and qualifying for a mortgage. Exact same thing.
Paying off your mortgage faster.
This is key.
So a lot of people say to me, hey, when we're having the conversation around payments, what are you comfortable making payments? And they'll say, I'm comfortable doing $2,000. But I can go up to $3,000. And usually what I recommend is, look, I understand this is your first home and you want to be very aggressive and pay this down fast. That's beautiful. But consider taking the smallest payment the bank is giving you and then all the extra money you want to prepay or accelerate, make it a prepayment on a regular basis. And many lenders will allow you to automate that. That way, if there's an emergency, you cancel the prepayment, keep the lower monthly payment. Because if you select a really high monthly payment,
This is all I'm going to say. Can you forecast the future?
Of course I can, man.
Can you forecast the future, Chris? He's nodding.
I actually came from the future back in time for this specific meeting to tell you we should talk about this.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Nobody knows what's going on.
So, all right. So the next one, renewing your mortgage. I'm going to keep it simple. Honestly, get a second opinion. If you don't get a second opinion because you think it's easier not to go through the entire process, then you're telling me potentially that it's easier to pay more on a monthly basis on your mortgage than not paying more for your mortgage. I don't know about you guys. I don't know about you. I work hard for my money.
Of course.
So if I can save
about me, man? 2 a.m. we email each other.
So if I can save an extra $100 a month or $200 a month, to me that's easier than a short term pain going through the entire process.
I think the reality is people spend way more time on other like Mickey Mouse stuff. And I'm sorry to offend Mickey Mouse. He's great. For example, Netflix. You have Netflix? Yeah. How long does it take you to choose a movie? It takes me forever. Sometimes it takes me 15 minutes to choose a movie and I fall asleep. I never even watch the movie.
Sometimes I get frustrated because I literally spent an hour and still nothing.
We probably... Okay, that's one random example. I'm sure there's plenty of others. Yeah. People spend time on silly things like this and are going to avoid maybe spending 15 to 20 minutes putting together an application for
it makes
renewal,
no sense. It
that'll
makes
save
sense.
Them so much money.
I don't feel bad for people that don't get a second opinion. Yeah, I really don't because bad. Honestly, it's just a phone call.
I agree.
Like, I'm not even saying go through entire process. I'm just saying pick up the phone, send an email, anything. Send a fax if you want to.
We have a fax. We have a fax
We
machine.
Actually do.
It's true.
It's really
in our museum. It's our museum.
All right, the next one. Optional mortgage insurance products. Honestly, that's going to be...
Mortgage insurance. We got to be very careful here.
We do.
So, as a mortgage broker...
agent.
We are required to offer optional mortgage insurance. And there's obviously some massive pros to this. You know, I think everyone should have an insurance conversation.
Some
understand
sort.
Your
yep.
risks. You know, you have this massive asset. If you have a family or if you have any dependents, having some sort of insurance plan in place...
That, yes.
...is massive.
That being said, though, you have to plan because there's so many products out there that mortgage creditor insurance may not be the best product for you.
No, but for the people who don't have a plan and closing on their home in the next
100%.
Couple of weeks, it's like, you know
100%.
What? Don't have a plan.
100%.
Depending on your health situation, it takes a long time.
I'll give you a real example, and I think you know this. One of our agents, one of their clients, signed up. Everything was good. Literally, a week before closing, he got ill. Very, very,
like a
very
stroke
bad.
Or something? Something serious.
I don't want to disclose too much. I'm just saying he or she got ill, right? So, you know, things do happen. And one of the things that I always tell people is don't be arrogant to think that you're invincible and you're never going to be disabled or you're not going to get a critical illness or you're not going to pass away. The other advice I will give people is, you know, if you have a spouse that stays at home and you qualify just based on the other income, don't say, you know, I don't need life insurance on the spouse that stays at home because they don't work and I can qualify on my own. Because reality is that if you do have children and something happens to that spouse, I don't care who you are. You're more than likely going to spend time with your children.
Just mentally.
Well, forget the mentally. You're going to put your children first. You're going to have to spend time with your children, yeah, right? Yeah. And that's going to be a transition for them. So how are you going to work full time and be a full-time, you know, parent at home. Again,
I think the main thing is, look, insurance is important. I know whatever
it's important to have a conversation.
Whatever you think of insurance, you know, yeah. Set that aside. Think of your family and your personal situation and realize if something were to happen to me today, what's my plan? If something happened to you and you have no insurance and your kids and your family is on the hook for this massive mortgage, they have no plan B, you're doing a massive, you know, disservice to your family. And, you know, you really need to have that conversation because insurance is not that bad, especially if you start young.
Yeah.
Can be pretty cheap. Yeah. Let's do one.
You want to do that last one? I don't see really any value. Yeah. Mortgage calculator. It's, you know, really... All the tools are pretty much the same. It just
there's
tells
a lot of good mortgage calculators online. They're
I think if you have a good agent, a good branch representative, a good mobile mortgage specialist, a good broker, I don't think you're going to need a mortgage calculator.
No, but you might want to play with some numbers. There's so many of these things online, though. It's pretty easy to use.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think this is really good job, Government of Canada.
I think we did pretty good. I know Chris is getting mad at us. He literally keeps...
The batter is going to die, so we literally have 10 seconds. One little tip I learned a long time ago is if you ever have a random government question, like something you're like, I don't know if the government does this or covers this or you know who I would speak to, the number is 1-800-O-CANADA. If you call that number...
No.
I swear to God, this is true. You call 1-800-O-CANADA and be like, I want to speak to the CRA department or I want to know about RSPs or I want to know anything that has to do with the government... Call that number, they'll redirect you.
Really?
Genius.
I didn't know that.
I know, they should advertise it more.
Is this Canada-wide?
Yeah, and they'll answer the phone right away. They're really nice. They always ask, how did you hear about us? And I have no idea who told me that. it's a great little tip. 1-800-O-CANADA.
All right, awesome. Well,
that's all I got.
Thank you, guys. That was fun. Your pocket score is coming up, but
it's all good. So we'll fix that offline.
No, honestly, offline. Like, it's like...
Oh, I know, it wants to get it.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Take care, guys.
We'll see you next week. Thanks. Do 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 do.